The Lord put a word of warning on my heart for the things that I'm about to talk to you about, and I ask that you would take a moment to pray for discernment. Again, it's always good to do this anytime you're listening to anybody who tries to tell you anything about the Word of God or about things that are happening prophetically or biblically in the current world that we live in. Take a moment, pray for eyes to see and ears to hear so that you would see clearly with spiritual discernment. Now, with that being said, I want to talk about something here that I believe is very important in this hour as the whole world is watching the United States of America. Now, when you look at how the world sees the United States, it's not a secret that this country is viewed as a country that has the most Christians in it, as we know that our country was founded on the principle of "In God We Trust." Now, the perception of the world has always been that we believe and trust in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But if we look at the fruit that's on the tree with the United States of America, from where we came from when this nation was founded to where we are now, what does the world see as the fruit that is on the tree of the United States of America? Because the Bible talks a lot about fruit, right? Jesus said, "Wherefore you shall know them by their fruit." It's not hard to walk up to a tree and see what kind of fruit it has brought forth in its season. So if you walk up to an apple tree, you ain't going to call it a peach tree. You got sense enough to know that those are apples. So when we look at this tree of America that has sprouted up over all of these generations from the time that it was founded, what does the world see in this generation? They don't see a nation of Christians. They don't see a nation of God-fearing people. They see a nation that has legalized and funded abortion at a government level. They see a nation that has legalized same-sex marriage and promoted these same things that God has called iniquity. The whole world sees a nation that produces over 65% of the filth and adult content that gets spread out across the world. And it all comes from Hollywood, California, and San Fernando Valley, and all of these places in California that produce all of these things that are defiling the minds of the youth. We've talked about this before. Over 93% of all young males are exposed to pornography before they are teenagers, and over 63% of all girls are exposed to this content. But look at how much that is. Over 65% of the world's adult film content is produced right here in this same nation where we see these other things going on. And not only that, they see that we have an entire month that is dedicated to pride and homosexuality and transgenderism and all of these things that couldn't be further from God. And they see a nation where there are men running around claiming to be women and they're wearing dresses and all of these things are going on. And the Bible says that a man shall not put on that which pertaineth to a woman, and likewise the woman, because all who do so are an abomination to the Lord. So that begs the question, why would that be such an agenda to push upon a nation of people? I firmly believe that this is something that's been done to pull this nation away from God. There are so many different aspects of what the enemy is trying to do here, but now we are learning that our own government has been a major proponent of child trafficking around the world, which is one of the greatest evils that I could even imagine possible. We're hearing this news about these people that are tied to the Epstein Island. You see, when the people of the world look at America, not only do they see all of these abominations that have led other nations astray, because make no mistake, when we legalized these things, there were other nations that did the same thing because we did it. We've led people astray. These other nations have drank from the cup of the wine of the wrath of the fornication that we have harbored in this nation. But not only do they see all of these other abominations that we've led people astray with, they also see a nation full of mega churches that are leading people to the very pit of hell that the Bible warns you about. They're seeing these mega churches preaching lukewarm doctrine and all of these doctrines that are tossing people to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You've got so many different denominations that people don't know their elbow from their ankle because they can't figure out the right interpretation of the Bible, because there's been so many different divisions of the body of Christ made because one person said, I don't like what they preach at the Baptist church, so I'm going to go over here and I'm going to start a Pentecostal church. And some people say, I don't like what they preach at the Pentecostal church, so I'm going to go over here and make an apostolic church and a Methodist church and a Catholic church and all of these different things. And we're seeing how this division is completely and totally corrupting the minds of those who claim to be in the body of Christ. But I want to read a scripture to you here from the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, starting in verse 10. It says, He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And pay attention to this, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What do you see in these churches? What's the fruit that's in these mega churches and the majority of the churches across the United States? They're tossing people to and fro with every wind of doctrine. They've got people up in arms about, well, the Church of Christ doesn't believe what the Baptist believes, and I can't get along with these people because they believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, and these people at the Pentecostal church believe that if you don't have the evidence of speaking in tongues, that you don't truly have the Holy Spirit. And it's nonsense. It's nonsense. The Bible says, do not be given to vain disputations over the word. Don't sit and argue about things that are clearly written. Stop having these arguments. Stop making your own opinions about these things and go into the word of God and study to show yourself approved, a workman not needing to be ashamed before God, and rightly divide the word of truth for yourself. Because if you get caught up in these things, you are gendering strife amongst your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you are walking in disobedience. But the world can see these things that you're doing. The world can see the fruit that's on the tree right now in the body of Christ with the United States of America. They see a country that has fallen away from the Lord their God. It has fallen away from the original principles that it was once founded upon. And people know the fruit that is on the tree of this nation. They see a people who have the form of godliness but deny the power thereof. They see a weak generation of people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ while they let their faith and the word of God be mocked and ridiculed in the public arena, and they don't have the backbone to stand up and be set for the defense of the gospel, as Paul said that he was. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we are set for the defense of the gospel. Why is it that the whole world loves to mock and ridicule Jesus Christ? Why is it that the only persecuted religion in the world are those who follow Jesus Christ? You want to see something interesting? Walk up in amongst a group of Muslims and start mocking and ridiculing Muhammad, and see what they have to say for you. They will stand for that false prophet that they worship because they have enough gall to at least stand for what they believe in. But we have raised a generation of spineless cowards in the body of Christ who are too afraid of their shadow to stand up and cry aloud and spare not and lift up their voice like a trumpet to warn the people of their transgressions, to be set for the defense of the gospel. The whole world sees this. They see this nation who pushes filth and abominations and have legalized the very things that the Bible says are sins that God hates. But the Lord put something on my heart so important, and I want you to listen carefully. This is so serious. I believe that the Holy Spirit is searching for fruit in the United States of America, and I don't believe he's finding much. Now, I want to read to you here in Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 18, and this is talking about where Jesus had just left Jerusalem after he had ran the money changers out and kicked over the money changers' tables in the temple. It says, "Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is this fig tree withered away?" Do you realize what he's saying there? Jesus was hungry, and he approached a tree that was created to bring forth fruit in its season. And he looked for fruit and found none. And he said to that tree, he spoke to it, and he said, "From this point forward, you will never bear fruit again." And that tree immediately withered up and died. In the book of Mark chapter 11, it says, when the disciples saw the fig tree that he had cursed, that it had dried up from the roots. I want you to imagine for a second that you saw that tree. This wasn't a little shrub. This was a tree. And in one moment, it had leaves on it. And when Jesus came looking for fruit and it had none, he cursed that tree and said, "You will never bear fruit again." It dried up from the roots. I could imagine that this tree looked horrifying. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled. And when I saw that, when I read this and the Lord put a word of wisdom on my heart with it, I thought, man, I would be thinking, I hope he never says that to me. What's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus comes looking for fruit in a nation that was founded on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Remember what the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And he's looking for fruit, and he's not finding much. What's going to happen in this hour when Jesus comes and he says, "Never bear fruit again" to the United States of America? We're talking about the God of all creation, the one who spoke everything you see into existence with a word. He said, "Let there be light," and there was. He created the mountains and the rivers and the lakes and the streams and the depths of the sea with the power and authority of his voice. And we now dwell in a nation that has defiled the nations of the world with filth and abominations. And he's now searching for fruit in this hour of the people who claim to follow him. And we have people who won't even stand up for his word. Now, as we see all of these things and we talk about how I believe that there is a great shaking coming to the United States of America, I believe that judgment is coming to this place, because Peter talked about this. He said, "The time has come where judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of those who obey not his gospel?" Look at the condition of the society that we now live in. Look at the hearts and the minds of people in this country. We see all of these crimes committed, murder and violence and evil, and we have all of these things increasing in this place. But in the body of Christ, we now have a majority of churches and false teachers online that don't even believe that hell is real. Just recently, this guy named Kirk Cameron came out, and he said that he didn't believe that God would send people to hell and allow them to suffer a conscious eternal torment. He said that he believes in an annihilationist doctrine that basically says that God's not going to make you suffer, and his words were, an eternal barbecue, but he would just destroy you so that you would just be no more. But I would like to take you to the scriptures so that you would not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, because I'm going to tell you, Mr. Cameron, you, sir, are pushing a false doctrine. You are taking away from the Word of God. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, that if anyone shall add to the words of this book, I will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone shall take away from the words of this book, I will take away his part of the book of life and out of the things of the holy city. That is a way to get your name blotted out of the book of life by leading people astray, by taking away that fear of God, because the Bible says, fear not him who can destroy the body and not the soul, but fear him who can destroy the body and soul in hell. But we have these lukewarm, backslidden, cotton candy preachers that are leading people astray by making them feel like that God's not going to somehow keep his promise with the judgment that is coming upon this place to give people the recompense of their reward, which is meat. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, Jesus said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You see, Jesus warned us about these people in these days that was going to be preaching this lukewarm doctrine. These people who crept in, as we talked about in the book of Ephesians just a second ago in chapter 4, by the sleight of men in cunning craftiness where they lie and wait to deceive. These people have been carried away into a seducing spirit. They've been giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils. They have their conscience seared with a hot iron. They are not concerned with your soul. They want to preach to itching ears. They want to tell you what you want to hear so that you will come and follow their platform and tell you all of these things that will make you feel good. This guy even said that he was so relieved when he found out that hell wasn't what the Bible said it was. I mean, are people really believing what this guy says? Are you listening to him and what he's actually saying? He's saying that what I'm telling you is how it really is, and what the Bible says is not what it really is. So let's go to the Bible and see what it really says, Mr. Cameron. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. We can go to Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 43. And it says, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That means the fire is not extinguished. It is an eternal punishment. When you come to the understanding of what the Bible says, that your soul is an eternal being, it never dies. It was created from the foundation of the world. Jesus said, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. You need to understand that when God says that the smoke of your torment will ascend up forever and ever, where you will be sent to a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and the fire is not quenched, and the worm dieth not, and it shall never be extinguished. What do you think that means? Just because you feel like that you serve some different God that doesn't dwell in the Bible, you can lead multitudes of people astray, and you think that you're not going to have to answer for that? You're not only going to have your blood on your hands, you're going to have the blood of millions of souls who believed this false doctrine and didn't fear the Lord because they thought, well, I'm going to be able to just go live in sin and God will understand because Kirk Cameron said that I'm not going to have to live in an eternal barbecue. I'm going to be able to just go to sleep and not remember anything anymore, and that'll just be easier. It'll kind of be like rest. Ladies and gentlemen, there is only one rest that we labor to enter into that's spoken of in the book of Hebrews, and the Bible says we should labor to enter into that rest as Christ entered into his, because that is when we leave this world and we have ceased from our labor. That is when we die. And the Bible says that a seed cannot bring forth fruit except it be planted and die. And when it dies, it brings forth much fruit. If you do not labor to enter into that rest, to bring forth fruit for the kingdom of God, and the Holy Spirit comes looking for fruit, what is he going to say to your tree? Jesus said a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit, and a good tree cannot bring forth corrupt fruit. Wherefore every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. What fire do you think he's talking about? Come on, people. It's time to wake up and understand that there are wolves in sheep's clothing. Jesus said, beware of these false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They're going to be packing a Bible. They're going to have a podcast platform with millions of followers. They're going to be telling people everything they want to hear, because the book of 1 and 2 Timothy tells us that in the last days, people will not endure sound doctrine. They're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Let's tell me what I want to hear, man. I don't go to that church over there because the preacher told me that if I keep living in sin willingly, I'm going to burn in hell. We need to understand that these people are trying to grow their following by telling people a lukewarm doctrine that will make them feel comfortable in their sin. These are the wolves in sheep's clothing that Jesus told us about. You need to pay attention and pray for discernment in this hour. What are you doing sitting in a church when the preacher is preaching a false doctrine and going, amen, brother, amen, brother? You're amen into stuff, coming into agreement with things that do not rightly divide with the Bible. This is the condition of the body of Christ, and the United States of America and the world is watching. This place has been weighed in the balance and found wanting, and judgment is at the door of this country. The reason that I'm bringing this message to you is so that you would wake up and come out of these lukewarm churches and begin to be men and women of God and stand boldly for the defense of the gospel. If you hear a preacher or somebody in the church that is pushing a doctrine that does not line up with the Word of God, you need to stand up with a boldness. We are called to walk in boldness. The Bible says, be bold in the faith. Quit you like men and be strong. You're supposed to stand up and speak against these things. The Bible says, be instant in season and out of season. Preach the gospel, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. When you leave out of a church, you shouldn't be sitting around thinking about, oh, the message was so good today and the coffee they had was great. You need to be thinking about, wow, I've got conviction on my heart. I need to get this sin out of my life. If my right hand causes it, I need to cut it off. It's that serious, because it would be better for me to enter into heaven without it than into hell with it, where the fire is not quenched. I don't want to live in a place of eternal torment where the smoke of my torment will ascend up forever and ever, where demons will torment and gnash their teeth and do all these terrible things to me for eternity. I don't want to dwell there. And I serve a God that doesn't want me to dwell there either. So thank God for this conviction. Thank God for this opportunity. And when you come to the knowledge of the truth, you should have an urgency and an alarming desire to go and tell others about this place. Do you realize that when the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, he desired for the angel to send Lazarus, who laid at his gates with sores on his body, that the dogs licked his sores. And he said, please send Lazarus here that he might dip his finger in the water and touch it to the tip of my tongue so that the fire might be quenched. And he said, where you are, Lazarus cannot go. There's a great gulf fixed between us. And where Lazarus is, you cannot come. And the rich man said, well, please just send him to tell my brothers. Tell my brothers so that they might not come into a place like this. And he said, let them read the law of Moses. They got the word of God. They have the same opportunity that you had. You think we're going to do you that favor to send somebody to warn them when they're living just like you are? That is the desire that you should have before the fact. You shouldn't wait till you're in a place of eternal damnation, fire, and judgment before you feel the desire to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible calls you to do these things, but we have raised a generation of weak, spineless cowards in the body of Christ that have no desire to come out of that building on Sunday and be the light of the world and a city that is set upon a hill, because of all of these pastors that won't tell you the truth because they are afraid that you won't come pile your money up in the plate and pay their salary so that they could amass hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars into their bank accounts, while they tell you that if you'll just sow a seed of $1,000 today, the Lord's going to open up a window out of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that you cannot contain. These are the wolves in sheep's clothing that are lying to you and seeking to deceive your souls so that they may become rich off of your offerings, because they do not care about how much sin you live in. They do not care what kind of iniquity you live in. We have preachers in the Methodist church right now. You've probably seen this news feed where this guy who is a pastor of a Methodist church who has come out to his church and said that he's going to transition to a woman and continue in the ministry. Where are the men of God in these positions, in these places, to speak out against this evil, against this iniquity? You think that you can have these people that walk in homosexuality in the body of Christ leading praise and worship? What is wrong with you people? Do you not see that these are the very children of disobedience, that the Bible says that if you do these things, you will go straight to hell? Everyone out there that can hear the sound of my voice has an incredible opportunity today. You see, I just experienced something in my very own community that was disgusting. There was a man who was invited here to a private venue to sing. He's a country music artist. I'm not going to mention his name. I'm not going to give him my platform. But, you know, this guy lives a homosexual lifestyle very openly. He posts pictures on his social media how he's making out with his husband and how he's happy to be this way, and he lives in pride and all of these things. And that's his right and his freedom to do so. I don't desire to intervene in the free will that God gave him. I support his right and his freedom to live how he wants to. But I went and did some research on this young man, and I looked at the songs that he sings. And some of the lyrics in one of the songs that he sings are very blasphemous. He says things like, "Lay me down in the saddle, and I'll spread more than the gospel." What are we talking about here? Where are the men and women of God in this community who were going and buying tickets to see this guy perform when he's on stage singing about how he's going to spread his legs for another man while he mentions the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hung and bled and died on the cross for the sins of the world? And this man has perverted the gospel in a song? And we don't have anybody here that spoke out. There are well over 100 churches in the community that I live in, and not one preacher, not one pastor stood up and spoke out about this publicly. I went to Bible studies, and I went around to men of God in the community, and I said, "Hey, you know, something needs to be said about this, because he's doing this to support a religious organization who has a name of a prophet of God in their name. Their organization is represented by the name of a prophet and a Bible scripture by the chapter and verse, and they deal with children." And I said, "Something's going on here that this organization would be affiliated." And I reached out to the organization, and they told me when I first called that they were hosting the event. And then when they saw that there were people getting upset in the community, they changed their story and said, "We are no longer affiliated with this event, and we're not hosting this event." And this thing went on, and I decided, I said, well, I prayed about this. I wrestled about it. I said, "Well, what do I need to do? Do I need to get on social media and call for people to come here to pray against this thing?" And the Lord said, "My people don't need to make a spectacle. All I need is two or three to gather in my name, and I will be in the midst of them." So I did that. On the night of this event, I took three men, one of which was my father here on earth, and we went to the heart of this county, and we marched around the square seven times and proclaimed the word of God. We anointed this place with oil, and we claimed this territory back. And I prayed for the children of this community that they would not be exposed to this filth and this evil. While this guy's down here singing things, as he's referencing a scripture that says, "Your body is the temple where the Holy Spirit dwells," he immediately says that he gets on his knees for more than praying. And there were people in this community who represent multiple local churches that went and bought tickets and cheered this on and sat in agreement with these things. This is the condition of the church, ladies and gentlemen. These are the things that are happening across America, and the enemy desires to defile the minds of you and I, and especially the children of this generation, because sexual iniquity is one of the main strongholds that Satan has on this generation through this filth, this adult film content, and all of these things that we've talked about in this podcast. But I believe that we are in an hour right now, and I spoke about this. You have an opportunity here. You have an opportunity to serve God, to come out from this darkness and stand in light. It is important to stand for righteousness, even if you have to stand alone. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." The prophet Jeremiah said that the word of God is like a fire shut up in my bones. Therefore, I cannot stay. I cannot be still. I cannot keep it in. I need to bring this out. I can't hide this candle under a bushel, because this fire that burns in my bones, I must tell others about it. The Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7, "And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire." That means that if you are called to minister the word to all the people of the earth, that you are a flame of fire. And what happens when you get fire close to kindling? It ignites it. And when you get close and that fire that's shut up in your bones and you begin to minister that word, as you are a minister, as a flame of fire, you begin to ignite other people's fires. And that's what I'm doing here. I'm telling you that if you've had that still small voice in your heart, in your soul, and you feel like the Lord's been calling you, you don't have to run off to seminary school or go stand behind a pulpit. It's about when you're walking through the grocery store, when you're standing in your job, when you're driving home from work. Be that light. Share that love. Tell people the truth. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 20, "Them that sin rebuke before all, so that others may also fear." This is not about running around being a finger pointer and telling people, "You got to quit doing this and you're wrong." It's about saying, "Hey, what you're doing, the Bible says you're going to go to hell, and I don't want that for you, man. I love you and I care about your soul, and I don't want to see that for you." You got to understand that we have a way that we should walk in. God created us and called us for a purpose. We're meant to bring forth fruit in our season. And if the Holy Spirit comes looking for fruit and he finds none, he's going to tell us to never bear fruit again. We're going to be withered up from the roots and die in our sins. And there's not going to be any second chances. There's not going to be a place of rest. It's going to be a place of eternal torment, where the smoke of that torment will ascend up forever and ever. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we are standing in the heart of Mystery Babylon, that is spoken of in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. And I'd like to go there and point something out to you. In Revelation chapter 17, starting in verse 1, it says, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Well, the Bible tells me that this great whore that sitteth upon many waters is about to be judged. And we're going to get into that. But I want to tell you about something. The Statue of Liberty. I did a little bit of research on this, and there's a few different contradicting stories out there. But from my understanding, when this statue was to be built, it originally was called the Statue of Isis or Ishtar. And I began to look at the symbology, how she had a flaming torch, which looks kind of like a cup or a chalice, right, in her hand. And she has these horns coming off of her head. And I began to look up the original statue of Ishtar, which was the demonic false goddess of fertility. She was the temple prostitute, where people came to the temple in Babylon and paid her for sexual things. And they felt like that was bringing them closer to their God. So she was the whore of Babylon, and her name was Ishtar. And this Statue of Liberty originally was called Isis or Ishtar, which is very interesting because it sounds a lot like Easter, which is the holiday that is supposedly celebrated for Jesus' resurrection. And what do they do on this holiday? They send children out to pick up eggs that was supposedly laid by a bunny. And a bunny is a symbol of sexual fertility in a lot of these pagan religions. And they call it Ishtar, right? Ishtar. So if we see these things surrounding this, I went and looked deeper. And if you look, and guys, I get it. There's a lot of different perceptions of this, but usually where I come from, usually where there's smoke, there's fire. And if you look at the feet of this statue, she's chained. And it sits out on the waters past New York where it is below sea level. And there are many waters there, right? There's a lot of oceans that come together there. And this great city that is spoken of here, called Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. This is Bible scripture. Go to Revelation 17 and look at this. When it speaks of this mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth, what did we start this podcast talking out about? What does the world see that are the fruits on the tree of this nation in its season? We legalized abortion. Over 60 other nations followed suit. We legalized same-sex marriage. All these nations did the same thing because we did. We pushed this pride agenda and all of this stuff where all of these hospitals are doing these sex change operations on these children, and all these other nations are falling in line. They fall right in behind what Mystery Babylon does, the great whore that setteth upon many waters. It's interesting how the very Statue of Liberty is referenced as the Statue of Libertas in Latin, which is translated from Isis or Ishtar, which essentially means the statue of sexual freedom, liberty, right? Because God says we shouldn't do this, but this was a symbol of rebellion. We're going to live how we want to. And the motto of Satanism is, "Do as thou wilt shalt be the whole of the law." But as we look at this, I want you to go over to Revelation chapter 18. And I'm going to read this chapter to you. Now, bear with me. I recommend that you get your Bible and read along with me and pray for discernment in this. In Revelation chapter 18, it says, "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mighty with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." What's that sound like? Remember what I said? All these other nations did it because we did it. What are we hearing about in our government? All of these corrupt politicians that are going overseas and making these deals, and they're sending out trillions of dollars to these different funds about giving dance lessons to transgenders in these other countries, and all of this crazy nonsense that we're seeing that they're putting in these bills. Is that starting to sound like this? Where all of the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her? And we're hearing about child trafficking. We're hearing about the Epstein list. But I want to read on here in verse 4. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat. What's the biggest place in the world that produces all of these things? The farm belt of the United States pretty much feeds the world, right? And it talks about this wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? Who's that sound like? Right there where the very Statue of Liberty dwells is the one of the largest shipping ports in the United States of America, and we have container ships coming and going. And all of these people, right? The shipmasters and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this? She burnt in 1 hour. How do you not justify that this doesn't sincerely look like the United States of America? Did Russia legalize all these things? No, they don't allow these things that we do here. Does China allow these things? No. China doesn't have a Pride Month. China doesn't have hospitals giving children, their own children, gender reassignment surgeries. None of these other nations do these things, and none of the other ones that do them did it before we legalized it and began to push this propaganda upon the earth. And in verse 19, it says, And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers and musicians and of pipers and of trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Now that's a very interesting word, that word sorcery, because if you translate it to Hebrew, it translates to pharmakia. What companies do we have here in the United States who produce all of these pharmaceutical, right? Pharmakia, sorcery, pharmakia, pharmaceutical. These companies produce these pharmaceutical drugs, and people are starting to wake up to the fact that if you go to the doctor and you have something wrong with you, they don't ever give you a cure. They give you a pill that you have to take for the rest of your life that masks the symptoms. And usually it creates another problem where you have to take another pill. The Bible tells me that by these companies, right, by this nation, that they're by the sorceries of this nation were all nations deceived. It really makes me think about these companies called Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca. Do those ring a bell? Where they were producing these injections that had all of these things in them, and the government came out and said, well, we have a court-ordered seal for the next 75 years where we don't have to disclose what the ingredients are in these shots. Just trust us. Trust the science. Take them. You need it. It's for your better good. It's for your own good. They made these things, and when people began taking them, Millions of people have died. Millions of people still suffer from health issues, Bell's palsy, myocarditis, different types of health disorders. These companies are the same companies that produce these pills that do not cure disease. The Bible tells me that the herbs were for the healing of the nations. That tells me that God is telling you in His Word that there is something that grows from this earth that will heal everything that ails you. Not mask the symptoms, but it will heal you. I myself have lived this. I had things going on in my body and I thought, well, what's going on? And I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I'm not as young as I once was. And I went to a doctor. And they said, well, here's what we think it is. Just take this pill, and if it helps it, we'll just get you on a prescription, and you'll just take it from now on. And when I got that prescription home, I looked it up. It was called Protonix. It was for indigestion. And the first thing that I found with this prescription medication, that there were over 13,000 wrongful death and cancer lawsuits against this company that produced this product. And I thought, whoa. Why in the world would I want to take that? Because I have some kind of a digestive thing going on. So I began to pray about it, and I asked the Lord to give me discernment. And I realized that there were things that I could take for my stomach, right, that were natural, that would help me. And I needed to change my diet because I was eating things that were causing me problems. If you have an ailment, you need to understand something. Whether it be diabetes or any other ailment, you ate your way there, you have to eat your way out. If you put something in your body long enough that it makes you sick, you have to go in the other direction. You have to get your body healthy again by eating the things that heal your body, not the things that harm your body. The things that they show us on the food pyramid are the exact opposite of what we should be doing because they desire to keep you sick and weak and ignorant. That's why when you go to the store in the United States of America, you only see ultra-processed foods and genetically modified fruits and vegetables because this has been designed to cause these problems. Because not only are they making money off of your demise, they are also taking you out and you're not living as long as you're supposed to because you're doing these things ignorantly. This is where God said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They perish for a lack of knowledge. You don't even understand that the very people that you think are trying to help you are giving you things that are taking you to your death. But as we read this, in Revelation chapter 18, what's it sound like? What's it sound like is going to happen? Something big is going to take place in this place. I'm not sitting here telling you that I know that the United States is Mystery Babylon, but after we've read this scripture, how can you deny that it doesn't sound just like it? And the Lord put something on my heart several years ago when we had these great American solar eclipses. Now, this is something that I want you to pay attention to because I believe that this was prophetic. Now, this first solar eclipse happened on August 21st of 2017, and it came across the United States directly through the middle. And I thought, this is really crazy. There were people, we live at the epicenter here in Kentucky, and there were people coming from miles around from other countries. There were thousands of people. You couldn't find hotel rooms, these towns that were at the center part of this eclipse. People came to see it because Jesus told us that there will be signs in the heavens and signs in the earth. And the Bible tells me that God said, let there be lights in the firmament and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and for years. And that's the sun and the moon and the stars. But we see this sign coming upon this place, this great American solar eclipse, and people were coming from all over the world to see this thing. But what was very interesting is 7 years later, there was another solar eclipse on April 8th of 2024. And I got to looking at the eclipse path of these two eclipses. And they crossed right over Cairo, Illinois. And where they crossed right there over Cairo, Illinois is at the heart of the New Madrid fault line. It was like it made an X across the United States. And I said, Lord, what is this? And the Holy Spirit showed me that there is a great shaking coming to the United States of America. And I was led to do some research on this, and in 1811, the great New Madrid earthquake happened. And it was so massive that the people reported in Tennessee that the land rolled in waves, and that's where we get the hills of Tennessee. They said that the Mississippi River ran backwards for 3 hours, and it created Real Foot Lake in Tennessee. This earthquake was so massive, and it went on for a long time. It continued to have aftershocks and to have more earthquakes until February of 1812. But this earthquake was so massive that it rang the church bells in Boston, Massachusetts. Go look at the map and see how far away Boston is from Kentucky and Tennessee. And tell me you don't think that's a big earthquake if it happened here and it rang bells that far away. Ladies and gentlemen, they're telling us right now that we're overdue for this New Madrid fault line to erupt. There are earthquakes happening in Tennessee and Georgia and North Carolina and all around this New Madrid. We're having earthquakes in Kentucky just the other night. Nobody came out and said it was an earthquake, but it was about 10:30 at night, and we were sitting at the dinner table just talking, and all of a sudden we heard this roar coming. And it rumbled right under the house, just whoo. And we jumped up and ran outside, and I've never experienced this before, but I could hear it leaving. It was like a rumble from beneath the earth, and I could hear it leaving, and it went under a big metal forming factory that I could see in the distance, and I could hear it just going. And I called my mom and I said, "Hey, I think we just had an earthquake." I could hear the fault line shifting as it was going. And I said, "I guarantee you, if you get on social media, you're going to hear people talking about this. This is going to be news tomorrow. This was big. I've never had anything rumble through like that beneath the earth." And sure enough, she said, "Well, people are talking about it 10 miles away. Now they're talking about it 30 miles away. And it wasn't long. It was in Paducah. It went to Franklin, Kentucky, to Adairville, Kentucky, to Paducah, Kentucky, all of these places, right? Paducah is a pretty good distance from where I live. And these people were saying, what was that noise? And if you follow the path of where people were reporting hearing this sound, it went straight through all the way over towards Cairo, where this New Madrid fault line is. And nobody I could see online was putting this together. But when I looked at those reports, I saw, man, this rumble came through, and the only people that heard it are the people that live on this fault line that goes to this New Madrid fault right there at Cairo where the Mississippi River is. And not long ago, many of you will remember where they said the Mississippi River dried up and they couldn't get barges through. But none of the other rivers dried up, not the Ohio, not the Cumberland, not the Tennessee River, not the Kentucky River. None of these other rivers that all connect dried up, but just the Mississippi. So that tells me that it didn't dry up from a drought. But what I did notice is that the Corps of Engineers were down there monitoring the New Madrid sandbar. Because what I believe happened, and I don't think they want to tell people this, is that the water went into that fault and it consumed all of the water in the river. When you have fault lines beneath the earth that are so big, they're big tectonic plates that are pressed up against each other with tremendous pressure to hold a nation, a continent together, and you have the water of an entire massive river like the Mississippi River just open up and pour into that fault. What happens to dirt and rocks and these things when you put water on them? They begin to erode and loosen up. Now we're seeing all of these earthquakes, and Jesus said before his return, there will be earthquakes in diverse places. We're seeing them in Japan. We're seeing them all around the Ring of Fire. We're seeing multiple earthquakes happening in California. But as we see all of these things happening, and we see the nature of the fruit that's on the tree in this nation, and we see these eclipses crossing paths over this nation, right there where that fault line is, they've came out and said that if the New Madrid fault line erupts again, it'll be the largest earthquake that this nation's ever seen, and that it will break this continent in half, and that the Mississippi River will be 100 miles wide from north to south. I went and I looked, and there was this so-called leaked U.S. Navy map of the future of the United States after this fault line breaks. And, you know, Snopes and Google came out and said that it was false and all that, but they sure tried to scrub it from the internet because you can't find many pictures of it. But if you Google that and look it up, you're going to see this map, and it shows where the water has completely consumed most of these coastal states. Like, it completely, when it happens, California's gone. It shows water coming plumb up over Louisiana and over Florida and all the way into to North Carolina and all the way around, and this Mississippi River. Hey, I live on some pretty high ground, but the way that it looks, I might have some oceanfront property if that takes place. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm not telling you these things to incite any kind of panic or fear. These are just factual things that you can look up for yourself. But something interesting here that's spoken of in Revelation chapter 18, it says that Mystery Babylon burns in 1 hour. And that doesn't seem to line up with some kind of an earthquake, like the New Madrid Fault or a powerful shaking that could come upon this nation. But what are they telling us? That Yellowstone is waking up and we're seeing seismic activity all around Yellowstone. And when I saw these people talking about how we're overdue for a Yellowstone eruption, and if Yellowstone did erupt, that it would literally have pillars of smoke that would blow out and cover 2/3 of the earth. But something else happened that was very interesting in 2017, that researchers found that there was a molten lake of carbon beneath the earth's surface in the western United States, and they flew NASA infrared planes over this thing for days upon end until they mapped it all out, and they said that it covered a span or an area the size of Mexico. And what's at the heart of this molten lake of carbon is Yellowstone. So doesn't that sound like that if the New Madrid Fault, when it erupted in 1811, if it had enough power to ring the church bells in Boston, Massachusetts, that's much farther away than it is from Yellowstone, do you not think that if this thing went off at a magnitude of that size, that it might be able to trigger the fault line at Yellowstone? Guys, I'm not saying that these things are going to come to pass, but the Lord put this on my heart to make this message to share it with you. And something that's so interesting to me is that when you look at molten carbon and you research what that is, it tells me that this is a substance beneath the earth that burns at 4,000 degrees Celsius, which is a little bit over 7,200 degrees Fahrenheit. The Bible talks about hell being an unquenchable fire, a fire that burns without end, without fail. The Bible says something very interesting in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 14, and it says, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it." If hell is increasing its boundaries, you see, the Bible tells me that hell is a place of eternal fire and torment, and it is beneath our feet on this earth. And at some point, to him was given the key to the bottomless pit when Satan is cast down. And it says the bottomless pit was opened and a great smoke arose out of the pit and darkened the sun. That sounds an awful lot like what they're saying would happen if Yellowstone erupted. And this smoke came up out of the earth so much that it caused an ice age on the earth. Guys, to me, that sounds a lot like what would happen if a nation was judged. To me, that sounds like what God is trying to convey here in Revelation 17 and 18 about a nation that had brought forth rotten fruit, corrupt fruit. When God came to this nation that was founded on His name, on His principles, on His doctrines, and they turned their back on Him, and they brought forth evil fruit, the Holy Spirit was hungry and He came to this nation looking for fruit and found none. And when He says to this tree, "Never bear fruit again," I could imagine that it would look something like these physical events taking place. that would shake this place to its core. Now, I'm not trying to scare you with this, but I'm trying to tell you that a nation that causes all these other nations to fall into this filth and abomination, that leads them into it, the Bible tells me that God's going to destroy this place. He's going to destroy that nation that sets upon many waters, that has all of these things going on, that causes all the kings of the earth to drink from the wine of the wrath of her fornication. What does that look like? What does that look like? Who does that sound like? No other nation is producing that much adult film content. No other nation is chopping the genitals off of their own children in their public hospitals. No other nation is legalizing these abominations and putting it on TV and pushing this filth. What does that sound like, ladies and gentlemen? We need to understand that right now, as the body of Christ, we need to return to our first love. Because God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land. I will restore these things. This is not a season where if you are a man or a woman of God, that you need to be found without fruit on your tree or oil in your lamp. Because the Holy Spirit of the living God is searching this nation for fruit, and he's finding none. All of these churches have gone away from the truth, and people like this Kirk Cameron guy are trying to tell people that hell doesn't even exist. So why would we even read the Bible if there's nothing to worry about, Kirk? If we're just going to go to sleep when it's over? Do you think that that's something to fear? You are a wolf in sheep's clothing, and you need to repent of these things and turn your heart back to God and rightly divide the word of truth. Because if the shepherd does not take care of his flock, God is going to send them down the road to be taken care of by another shepherd. And we can see here that it's not looking good for the United States of America if it is that great whore that sets upon many waters. And ladies and gentlemen, all those shipmasters and all those nations that had ships on the water by reason of trade with her, what's in New York City where the Statue of Liberty dwells? The New York Stock Exchange, where we trade with the world with the U.S. dollar, and all those goods are shipped to and fro on ships on the water. You almost can't make it up, guys. Everything that I'm telling you, if you don't have discernment to see what I'm talking about, judgment is at the doorstep of this nation. And all I see is this filth and trash. And I believe that this is an opportunity right now for everybody out there to be a light in the world. Jesus said something very interesting in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, and I want to read that to you. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Do you understand that Jesus is standing at the door right now? He's knocking at the door, and he wants to come in and dine with you and fellowship with you. He wants to dwell in your heart. "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." He desires to be a part of your life, to sit with you and enjoy a meal with you as you eat it. As God hath said, "I will walk in them and dwell in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." God dwells in temples not made with hands. He dwells in you. Know ye not that you are the temple where the Holy Spirit of the living God dwells? That's who we are. We're God's people. What are we doing spending our time in a lukewarm church that's telling you things that don't line up with the Bible? We're going to a place where we give money to a man and pay him a salary to tell us his opinion about the Bible and not reading it for ourselves so that we can be set for the defense of the gospel. Guys, I'm not trying to bring this message of doom and gloom. I'm trying to share this with you so that you would be edified and be prepared in your heart for the things that are coming and the destruction that is going to come upon this place. God's not going to keep winking an eye at the fact that this nation is murdering hundreds of millions of unborn children throughout the generations in the name of convenience. You think that we don't have child sacrifice in our society? We do. They just don't call the demon Moloch or Baal anymore. They call it Planned Parenthood. These women go in here and pay a small fee, and a lot of times people donate money to these organizations where they can go in and get one for free. And a lot of them are doing it far into the birth. They're taking these babies out of the womb. They've already proven that they feel pain, and they're tearing them into pieces. They stick a sharp tube into the back of their skull and suck their brains out and then rip them out limb from limb. Sometimes when the baby is too big, they give the woman an injection. And I don't know the name of it. A lot of you guys might, but I've read some of this. They give the woman an injection into the womb where it causes the baby to die. And then they can go in and remove it. They extract it. Can you imagine anything more evil than that? A lot of people say, well, it's not a child until it takes its first breath. Jesus said, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Can you imagine that these people are doing this to living, breathing souls? We know that there's a heartbeat. We got NASA scientists telling us that they found life on other planets with bacteria. How is it that that's life as a bacteria, but a heartbeat in the womb of a human being, woman, of a human woman is not life? Guys, we've fallen away from the truth in this nation. We've turned our back on the very God that we founded our principles on. And the enemy has crept in with all cunning craftiness. He's laid and waited to deceive all the men of this nation. And it's happening. We're watching it come full circle. Guys, I'm not trying to predict anything here. I'm not trying to say that this is going to happen. I'm not trying to be a fear monger. I'm just telling you that you need to be prepared in your heart for the fact that you live in a corrupt and evil generation. The Bible tells us that in the last days, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You need to pay attention in this hour and pray that the Lord would use you to be a beacon of light and a fisher of men, to go forth and to bring forth fruit for His kingdom, so that when the Holy Spirit of the living God comes searching for fruit on your tree in its season, He would find a multitude of fruit, so that you would be fruitful in the kingdom of heaven, so that you would be able to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Guys, I want to take a minute to pray with you. We're living in interesting times. We see all of these Bible prophecies unfolding before our eyes. It's time to wake up the people of God. The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. So we should pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest. So I want to go to prayer for you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus to give you thanks, honor, and praise for this opportunity to speak forth this word of encouragement and edification, so that all those who would hear, it would bring fear and conviction on their hearts that they might turn back to you, Lord. We pray for all of these churches that have gone astray and are tossing people to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Father, we pray that they would open their eyes, that you would touch their hearts and show them the truth so that they would lead people to the paths of righteousness. Lord, we pray that you would make a way for these people to come out from among these places and be separate and be beacons of light and fishers of men. Lord, we know that this harvest is plenty, and we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would send these people forth that can hear my voice as laborers into the harvest. Father, we just ask that you would prepare our hearts for the days ahead, that you would show us your truth and your word, Lord, and that you would give us a hunger and a desire to study your word deeper. We pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Bless us with discernment as we see this darkness creeping in from all angles, Lord. We know that the enemy is the God of this world, but he is not above the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus Christ is above every demon, every principality, because the victory is already won. Satan has already been defeated, and we are waiting for these things to play out. But we know those that endure until the end shall be saved, Lord, and we pray that you would fill us and anoint us with your Holy Spirit, that we may go forth into these dark times and bring forth your word and save many souls from the pit of hell, from the pit of destruction that burns without end. Lord, we pray for these false teachers that you would show them the truth before it is too late, before they have blood on their hands and lead many any astray. Father, I thank you for this word that you've put on my heart today, and I thank you for everybody that you've sent here to listen to it, Father. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and we ask for your full armor and all of the gifts of your ministry and for your hedge of protection right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of the world. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in his holy name, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Guys, I thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. I ask you just pray for discernment. Go back and study these scriptures I've given you. The things that I'm speaking to you, I'm not making this stuff up. I pray and I fast and I ask the Lord to speak through me to help warn the people. The Bible says that we are set to be a watchman on the wall and we have to sound the trumpet. We have to lift up our voice and cry aloud and spare not to show the people their transgressions. It doesn't feel good to have conviction, but it sure is going to feel good when you make it to that narrow gate that leads to life instead of enter into that broad path that leads to destruction. Guys, if you see this shirt that I have on, I want to tell you about it. If you don't know already, we have a website called TylerWoodEncounter.com. Again, that's www.TylerWoodEncounter.com. We have these shirts available. These shirts I created so that you could have something to help you to walk in boldness. They have Bible scriptures on the back. We have several different designs. They're extremely good quality t-shirts. They're 100% ring spun cotton. They're next level t-shirts. They're the best quality that we could find. They're screen printed by a very good company in Florida. If you're interested, they're available on our website. If you go check them out, it really helps what we do here with the podcast. If you buy these shirts, we're incredibly grateful for everybody that's bought these shirts. Thank you for taking a part in this ministry, guys. I've got some great things that I'm going to announce coming up with the House of Prayer Project. It's going to be a big deal. It's going to shake the foundations of hell. Guys, I'm going to tell you like this. My name is Tyler Wood, and I rob hell for a living. That's what I do. And we're gonna save souls for the kingdom of heaven, even if we have to stomp holes in the gates of hell to do so. If you haven't already, subscribe to the channel. Share this message. Share this podcast. God bless y'all tonight. I love you so much. I thank you for your love and support. God bless you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of the world.